All right, welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. Mike Adams here, and we have a packed show for you. Let me give you a table of contents here right up front. First of all, I've got a 20-minute special report, an emergency report about the very high likelihood of the United States of America pulling off a false flag event during this naval exercise in the Black Sea. And that's about a 20-minute segment. I pre-recorded that. And it links the Balt Ops, which was the naval exercise that was a cover story for planting the explosives that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline in the Baltic Sea, of course. It ties that to now this operation in the Black Sea, which is called Operation Sea Breeze 23. And this appears to be a cover for another massive false flag event, which, again, we'll talk about in that special report. Following that, we've got a bombshell interview for you. This is really powerful with Leslie Manoukian and Kendall Nelson. These are the producers of a film called The Greater Good, which this was created before COVID, and it exposes the fraud of the vaccine industry and the crimes of the vaccine industry. The narratives and all of this. It is a hard-hitting interview, and these two women, Leslie and Kendall, are just extraordinary. I mean, articulate, knowledgeable, passionate, courageous. They just nail it. So that's coming up. And by the way, this film, The Greater Good, you can watch it for free starting this Saturday at Brighteon University, which is brightu.com. And that's just the letter U. So brighteu.com. You can go there right now and register. It's free to watch The Greater Good. And the film runs actually for 11 days, so you can pick any day you want to see it. Watch it for free. It just goes on a repeat loop for those days. And then optionally, if you wish, you can purchase a digital download of the film along with extra bonus material, additional videos, PDFs, documents that are incredibly useful. That's an optional purchase. If you do that, it supports the filmmakers and also helps support the Brighteon platform, but that's all optional. There's no purchase required. So go to brightu.com and register right now to start watching that film this Saturday. And it's mind-blowing. This interview is really, really powerful. So that's what's coming up today. And then we've got a little bit of news that I just have to cover before we get into the Black Sea false flag special report. And then finally, somewhere in all of this, I've got to tell you about our newest nutritional product, which is called 5G Defense. And it's based on a very powerful, potent, and extremely expensive ingredient, by the way, called superoxide dismutase, which is sourced from melon fruit. Melons. It comes from melons. And it is a very powerful nutrient called SOD that you can learn about. And we call it, in this formulation, we call it 5G Defense, and I'll explain why that is. And that's available now at healthrangerstore.com. So we're going to get to all of that. First, I need to mention that Owen Schroyer, the one of the star hosts at Infowars.com, Owen Schroyer has been sentenced to 60 days in jail for being a journalist covering the J6 events, the peaceful protests. And Owen Schroyer did not attack anybody. He did not have any weapons. He did not enter the Capitol building. And he did not vandalize anything, and he was sentenced for the crime of speaking about the rigged election. I mean, it's incredible. This is a speech crime that he is being prosecuted for, and he has issued a statement, and I wanted to play for you at least a minute or two of that statement where he explains exactly what's going on. He made this statement yesterday and with his attorney, Norm Pattis. And it's an extraordinary statement. It's an extraordinary series of events that he's being sentenced to jail for speech crimes. But check out this statement from Owen Schroyer. And then, by the way, if you want to support him, he's got givesendgo.com/Owen. And I think he also has defendowen.com, by the way, to help with his legal fees. But let's check out his statement.
It was never my intention to become a free speech martyr. Yes, I am a free speech activist. Yes, I believe the reason why the First Amendment is number one is because free speech is probably the most important thing to the foundations of having our country. But here I stand today, a free speech martyr. Make no mistake about it. And I have to ask myself this. Is this my country anymore? Is this the United States of America anymore? Is this the country we want to live in when a prosecution, multiple U.S. attorneys, and a judge quote me saying 1776 and USA in a criminal offense? Is this the United States of America? Is this the Constitutional Republic? Is this what so many have fought and died for, including my own forefathers? There is a legal process to challenge the electors in a presidential election. There is a legal process. That legal process was set to take place on January 6th, where you review the election process, you review the election law, you see if any laws were broken in the process, and the vice president has an opportunity to say, we're going to withhold the electoral votes until further review. That is a fully legal process that the Democrats have attempted to do multiple times in their party's history. It's been cited in 1960. It's been cited in Bush versus Gore. Hell, some of them even wanted to do it when Hillary Clinton lost. So if there's any precedent when it comes to challenging the results of an election, well, the Democrats are the case study. In fact, the Democrat Party has denied every presidential election that they've lost in the 21st century. Gore, Kerry, Clinton, they challenged every single loss. Was anybody sued? Was anybody brought into the courtroom? Was anybody prosecuted? No.
All right, that was Owen Schroyer there. The website is defendowen.com, or you can go to givesendgo.com/Owen if you would like to help support Owen's substantial legal bills. I'm wondering how steep those are, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, $400,000, $500,000 and counting. And that's one of the ways that lawfare works, is they try to bankrupt you just in defending yourself against their bogus charges. I mean, as Owen was saying, how many Democrats challenged the election results of 2016? And there are video compilations out there of dozens of prominent Democrats, including Kamala Harris, you know, including Hillary Clinton herself, saying that that election was rigged. How come they weren't prosecuted and thrown in jail for questioning the 2016 election? Interesting. It only works one way, doesn't it? It's not a justice system. It's a just us system. And it's said by the Democrats, just us. We, the Democrats, can get away with anything. It's just for us. You're going to be prosecuted. You have no rights. You have no freedoms. You have no liberties. You have no constitution. Just us. All the freedoms are reserved for us alone. All right, now, speaking of fraud and a rigged system, the FDA has gone rogue. This is a new Substack post by Dr. Robert Malone, where he points out, essentially, that the Joe Biden administration ended the public emergency over COVID earlier this year. There is no crisis now. I mean, national emergency. That was ended on May 11th. Of 2023. But the FDA has now, as of just 2 days ago, they have, quote, approved the new vaccine mRNA boosters under, quote, emergency use authorization, which of course bypasses any need for clinical trials, safety studies, efficacy studies. Oh, because it's an emergency, was the thinking, that the FDA can just have emergency use authorization, which also means, by the way, they can only have that EUA when there's no other treatment that is known to be effective. And that's why they attacked ivermectin, by the way, because they couldn't show that there was any other treatment. Otherwise, EUA could not be invoked. But now there's not even any emergency, yet the FDA is still doing emergency use authorization. So in other words, the FDA has gone rogue. The FDA is a criminal organization now, violating its own regulations, violating laws, violating the Constitution, violating human rights. And this is what Dr. Robert Malone is actually pointing out in this. The FDA is just off the charts insane. You know, the EUA status is supposed to expire, and it's not even expiring either. As Dr. Malone writes, he says, so basically the FDA administrative bureaucracy self-determined that they could continue to bypass their normal procedures for evaluating vaccine purity, including lack of adulteration, potency, safety, and efficacy, pretty much for as long as their heart's desire, at least until November 7th of 2023. And that is the administrative basis that they use to enable their September 11th emergency use authorization for the SARS-CoV-2 mRNA vaccine boosters. And by the way, it's no coincidence that they chose 9/11, the day where the United States government was complicit in allowing the mass murder of 3,000 plus Americans in order to expand power. So the FDA chose 9/11 to fraudulently push another emergency use genocide shot onto the population that is designed as a biological weapon to achieve immune suppression, infertility, and depopulation. So, of course, it had to be on 9/11. I mean, it's the perfect day for the FDA to wage biological warfare on the American people. 9/11 is the day that the government always attacks the American people in one way or another, it seems. By the way, as a side note on that, I covered, of course, Building 7 on the podcast here for September 11th. Did you know there are still people out there, and I would say even most people don't even know that Building 7 existed and that it crumbled? Well, it was demolished and it was not hit by an airplane. There are still many people who have no idea. They think it's just the Twin Towers. And I saw a really great meme, just the perfect meme of this. It showed the Twin Towers with the words, "Never forget," right next to Building 7 with the words, "Forget." I don't know who created that meme, but it was genius. So simple, so succinct, but nailed it. You're not supposed to remember there was a third building that was not hit by any airplanes, by the way. And it's astonishing to me that people don't even still realize this, because it really is high school physics to understand that Building 7 had to be brought down by controlled demolition. It did not crumble from having a couple of office fires, which is the official explanation. And they just hope that you don't even remember it. And really, the deletion of Building 7 from the mass consciousness of the American psyche is an act of mass hypnosis. Yeah, it's a psychological operation. And if you've listened to my podcast for very long, that in hypnosis, you can cause people to have both positive hallucinations or negative hallucinations. And negative hallucinations are when things are deleted from their consciousness through the power of suggestion and social engineering. And this is exactly what has happened since the 9/11 events, that Building 7 has been deleted from public awareness through mass hypnosis. And you can just ask people, people that like, how many buildings fell on 9/11? And they'll say, two, the Twin Towers. And it just tells you, they're still hypnotized, 22 years later. It's amazing. Absolutely astonishing. But remember, too, that mass hypnosis can also generate positive hallucinations, which means additive concepts that are added to a person's reality or their perception of reality or interpretation of reality. And I think a really great example of a positive hypnosis additive subject was, of course, COVID. I mean, you had people running around America with masks and hiding behind plexiglass and wearing masks in their own car. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg is still wearing a mask in her own room in isolation. And why were people doing this? Why were they social distancing? Why were they keeping their kids out of school? Because they all imagined this invisible virus that in all likelihood was just a rebranded, flu season. And although there no doubt there were biological weapons or chemical weapons dropped on people in certain cities, we didn't have scary COVID that was spreading from asymptomatic carriers and everybody had to wear a mask. That was all imagined. But the population was hypnotized into thinking that that was real. And that's a great example of additive hypnosis or positive hypnosis. It doesn't mean positive as in good. It just means that something is added to a person's perception of reality. And if you actually look, I know this is kind of a tangent, but if you look at what goes on out there in terms of corporate media and vaccine propaganda, government propaganda, it's all a combination of these two forms of mass hypnosis, all of it. And Barack Obama was the master of this brand of hypnosis. And today, the State Department and the Biden regime and corporate media, they engage in this every single day. And by the way, the whole transgenderism delusion is a great example of mass hypnosis, where you could hypnotize some huge portion of the population into believing that men can have babies or that men are women. Like that's classic stage hypnosis. You know, I've seen stage hypnotists perform where they could convince somebody that they were a cat, and then they would act out like a cat. And it's no coincidence that as part of this insane LGBT transgender movement, that there are young students showing up in public schools in the UK who are now self-identifying as cats. And they just go meow, meow, meow through the whole class. And the teachers can't do anything because, you know, you don't want to offend the trans feline gender person thing, whatever that thing is. You know, you have to go along with the delusion to be a virtue signaler in today's twisted society. But make no mistake, folks, that's mass hypnosis. Mass hypnosis. And frankly, the rigging of the 2020 election was also a form of mass hypnosis. And in fact, the entire J6 insurrection was theater. The FBI, with some help from some other deep state actors, actually ran that operation and engineered it and allowed the barricades to come down. The Capitol Police opened the doors, let people in. And then, you know, certain actors who were federal agents were the ones smashing windows and saying a lot of the crazy things. I mean, yeah, a few so-called patriots went along with it, but they didn't initiate it. It was all initiated as an act of theater, a giant theatrical production, in order to project this mass hypnosis of a, quote, insurrection that almost took down democracy. I guess it's the only insurrection in the history of the world where nobody was armed, if you can believe that. You know, completely insane. But the Democrats, they're all about projecting false realities and using mass hypnosis, including, of course, deletion of reality. And that's what Building 7 is. It's been deleted from America's consciousness. Oh, and you know what else has been deleted from America's consciousness? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Remember that? Give us 2 weeks. Yeah, we're going to flatten the curve. Just 2 weeks. If everybody just does what we say for 2 weeks, and here we are like 3 years later, with more masks and more boosters and more obedience. And there are still gullible people. People who believe the official 9/11 narrative, by the way, who also believe the official vaccine narrative. You notice those people are one and the same? They're gullible. They believe every false authority narrative. Just not too bright, you know? Not too bright. But here's something interesting on the vaccine front. You all know who Dr. Paul Offit is, right? He's the pediatrician who owns patents on, some rotavirus vaccines, and he's been pushing vaccines for decades. I think he's the one who famously said that children can have 10,000 vaccines. And he's cited, you know, by media all over the place, and he's actually a vaccine advisor to the FDA. Okay, so Paul Offit, right? Paul Offit. He is a 100% pro-vaccine advocate. Now, I'm going to read for you from America Insider, a story that's on MSN.com. In a major announcement, Dr. Paul Offit says most healthy young Americans do not require the COVID-19 booster shot. Do not require it. He says, I believe we should stop trying to prevent all symptomatic infections in healthy young people by boosting them with vaccines containing mRNA from strains that might disappear a few months later. That's a quote from Paul Offit, folks. Do you realize that I was banned from platforms like Twitter for saying similar things years ago? You'd be banned from Facebook if you said it right now. But Paul Offit is now saying it. And again, it sounds like the way something I would say, you know, 2 years ago, or something that Robert Malone would say, or Steve Kirsch, or others. I mean, It's insane to mass vaccinate healthy people who are asymptomatic, who probably have fully functioning immune systems. They're going to be fine. It's insane. And even now he agrees with that. Isn't that extraordinary? Now it's, you know, no matter what you think of Paul Offit, you have to give the guy credit for this position. Now, he still says that people over 75 years of age and people with health problems and, you know, risks of severe disease and immune compromise and whatever, and pregnant people need the booster, he advised. So he's still pushing these shots on pregnant women, which is also insane. So, you know, in my opinion, Paul Offit is not all together, but you have to give him credit for saying the previous quote that I mentioned, which goes against the mindless vaccine propaganda narrative that's pushed throughout the media and, of course, by the vaccine manufacturers, which is based on this lunatic idea that, like, everybody needs all vaccines all the time, multiple times. You can never have enough vaccines. And I mean, everybody should take them all the time without exception. That's crazy. And to his credit, Dr. Paul Offit is pushing back a little bit against that insanity, where we live in a time when very few people who are tied into Big Pharma or tied into the FDA or tied into the science journal, you know, quote, science journals. They're more like quack science journals, as you know. I mean, they trashed ivermectin and just made up all the data in The Lancet. Just made it all up. That's what science is today. It's just whatever fiction they're trying to, you know, catapult into the propaganda for mass hypnosis, right? But anyway, Paul Offit pushed back against some element of that. And that's so rare that he deserves a little bit of credit for doing that. Now, of course, it would be even better if he would stop pushing toxic depopulation vaccines for people who are immune compromised, given that these vaccines destroy your immune system. But maybe that's like step two in the Paul Offit 12-step recovery program. I don't know. Maybe he'll get there next. We'll see. But, you know, look, there are so few people out there who are willing to say what they actually believe now. Most people just say whatever protects their jobs or their careers or whatever the establishment wants them to say or whatever pays them the most money. And that's true in the Department of Defense. You know, it's true in pharmaceuticals. It's true in science. It's true, especially true in climate science, which is also a just an aberrant monstrosity of irrationality and fiction. But they have to say, oh, yeah, it's all caused by climate change, you know, and humans are bad and energy is bad and trees are bad. Now, that's the newest thing. They're cutting down trees. You know, the new Bill Gates program, 70 million acres of trees to be mass slaughtered, I mean, and buried, you know, to save the planet. So, it's all insane. But every once in a while, people do push back against the insanity. It's worth mentioning. Oh, by the way, California Now, this is a story from The Federalist. California lawmakers vote to remove kids from any parents who don't support severing their genitals. Folks, this is not a Babylon Bee headline because that would be kind of sick. This is a real news story. And this just goes to show you what I'm talking about here. Mass hypnosis. Psychological operations against the American people. Here's the story. The California legislature passed a bill that would threaten parents with losing custody of their children if they questioned their child's supposed desire to undergo disfiguring hormone regimens, you know, chemical castration, or surgeries to appear more like the opposite sex. So it's like your kid comes home from libtard public school, you know, with all the blue-haired nose-ring teachers telling your little boy that you're a girl, you're a girl. And then your boy comes home and says, Mommy, Daddy, I want to be a girl. I want to be a girl and fit in and get a special treatment in the school. I want to cut off my balls. And if you as a parent, you say, no, that's insane. The state comes and takes your children away from you. They kidnap your children so that they can be surgically mutilated with the endorsement of the state. You know, chopping off endectomies and other kinds of surgical procedures that would make you cringe. Like, what are you talking about doing with scalpels and surgeons and hospitals to my child? Are you insane? Folks, okay, so Republican State Senator Scott Wilk, he had previously recommended, this was a couple months ago, that parents flee California with their children. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Here's a quote from him. In the past, when we've had these discussions and I've seen parental rights atrophy, I've encouraged people to keep fighting. I've changed my mind on that. If you love your children, you need to flee California. You need to flee, period. Wow. Wow. Yeah. If you want your children to have their breasts intact or their penis intact or other reproductive organs intact, you need to take them and flee California, or they could be taken from you by the state. Can you imagine surgeons with scalpels showing up at your front door with armed state police saying, "We're here for your children. We're here to take your children because they want to be progressive. They want to be, you know, female or male or magical fairy genders or whatever. And since you said no, we're taking your children away from you so that they can be, you know, progressively mutilated in the California system. Progressively mutilations and scar tissue. It's all part of progress." And understand that this law is rooted on mass hypnosis, the delusion, the insane, mentally ill delusion that claims that boys can become girls, or vice versa, or that boys can become girls and then girls, those girls can become boys again somehow. It's like, we already chopped it off. What do you want us to do now? I don't know. Find another one. Sew it on. I mean, it's all imaginary anyway. These people are truly, truly clinically insane. And I repeat my call, by the way, my desire for every lawmaker, every physician, every hospital administrator who has supported these chemical and surgical mutilations of children, every last one of them, and we should remember their names, should be, in my opinion, arrested and prosecuted for crimes against humanity. These are Nuremberg trials, you know, types of violations of Nuremberg Code. You know, this is Holocaust level insanity of mutilating children. And I use that term on purpose. You know, Adolf Hitler, the monster that he was, he did order the performing of medical experiments on Jewish prisoners. Those experiments, by the way, were carried out by, in part, IG Farben, which later became Bayer Pharmaceuticals. So this was the corporate conglomerate company of modern day Big Pharma that's running the vaccines. Yeah, they were murdering Jews in medical experiments first. Now, what are they doing to children? They're doing things to children in California that Adolf Hitler didn't even think of. That as evil as Hitler was, gassing Jews to death, murdering people on the streets, pulling the gold out of their mouth, out of their teeth, to harvest it before they mass murder them. Even Hitler didn't mutilate little boys and girls. I mean, he euthanized, you know, those with physical impairments. He euthanized the infirmed. So in a sense, you know, he murdered boys and girls of low IQ. That was part of the Nazi regime philosophy, to save the state money so that money could be used for its war machine, by the way. Yeah, we did a story showing the posters of that. But even as evil and as insidious and as anti-human as that was, Adolf Hitler can't even lay a finger on what California lawmakers and surgeons and LGBT, you know, surgical mutilation advocates are doing today in 2023 in California. There are degrees of evil in the history of, you know, murder and genocide and mutilations. And I got to say, these radical left-wing lunatics in California, they have now opened up a new level of evil in the dungeons, the dark dungeons of demonism and insanity. They've opened up a whole new pit of evil that none of us imagined was even possible. You're going to do what to little boys and girls? Yeah, California Democrats, they're all in. They will mutilate children because they think it's virtue signaling. It's almost a curse to be born as a child of a Democrat today. You notice that? Because think about it. I mean, first of all, just surviving the abortion is, it takes a miracle to be born alive and not murdered by your own mother. If your mother's a Democrat, I mean, so number one, that's a miracle to survive that. And then to be a child and to go through all the things that the Democrat parents want their children to be subjected to. Oh, here, wear these masks all the time so that your social development is all retarded and you can't learn how to interact with other children in a social way. That'll make you actually a perfect Democrat. You can serve as the leader of a jury trial, you know, against a maybe a conservative in the future. If you're a total freaking lunatic psychopath, it's perfect. And then, oh, here, take these jabs so that you have no immune function and so that you become infertile. You can't reproduce and probably it's going to turn your body into a spike protein bioweapons factory. So you're walking around shedding on everybody else. And, you know, you become basically a, you know, a disbursement system for biological weapons in society. And you have no immune system. So you're sick all the time and you might die young from heart attacks and myocarditis or strokes or who knows what. Yeah. And then, oh, and you're not allowed to go to public school because that might be dangerous to leave your room. So you stay in your room for 2 weeks with your mask and your shots, by the way. And then, by the way, we're going to have a surgeon come on by with some scalpels and some anesthesia. And we're just going to like slice off your reproductive organs. Yeah. You know, so that when public school does open back up, you can be inclusive. Could you imagine being a child of a Democrat today? Subjected to all this nonsense, just neurological torture, biological torture, mutilations in the name of virtue signaling. I mean, the freaking Aztecs and Mayans didn't do this to their kids, and they sacrificed them. I mean, yeah, they killed them and threw them down the steps of the pyramids, but they didn't just mutilate them and torture them in their own homes under some made-up BS excuse. It takes a Democrat to do that. Seriously, through the history of human civilization. And I've seen some stuff. Remember, I visited the shrunken head tribes, you know, in the Amazonian regions of South America. I saw the shrunken heads on the sticks. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And I've visited the ancient ruins in Machu Picchu and in parts of Mexico. I've studied a little bit the history of the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Quechua speaking citizens of modern day, you know, Peru and so on. None of them ever did this to their children, what Democrats do today in California. I don't think there is, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're aware of something that I'm not, but I am not aware of any instance in human history where the systematic mass mutilation and psychological abuse of children was institutionalized like it's being done right now by the Democrats in America, and specifically Newsom and the lunatic demon rats in California. They have set a whole new demonic, destructive precedent on the destruction of children that I do not think has ever been recorded in human history on planet Earth. I mean, this is way beyond Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. This is beyond biblical mutilations. I mean, yeah, in the Old Testament, they were throwing their children to, who was it, Moloch, you know, and praising the Satan, Moloch, you know, to spare them as, by sacrificing their children. Democrats go way beyond that today, way beyond that. Understand, they're demons pretending to be human. That's what they are. Here's a story out of humanevents.com. Maryland Elementary School reinstates mask mandate for third graders. This is according to a letter obtained by OutKick founder Clay Travis. According to the letter, Rosemary Hills Elementary School in Silver Spring, Maryland, will be reinstating its COVID-19 protocols after three individuals tested positive for the virus. Yeah, of course, the tests are fraudulent. PCR is fraudulent. We've already talked about that. The school protocols will require third graders to wear masks at all times, except while eating or drinking, because the virus knows to behave when you're eating or drinking, apparently. Yeah, it's all insane. They're coming for your kids again. Here come the masks. Here come the lockdowns. Here come the social retardation, the neurological interference with the development of children in the public school system. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just like we warned you, it's coming. They're going after the children first. And here's a headline from MRC TV. Elementary school's Rainbow Club asks teachers to swap boys and girls, the terms boys and girls, with inclusive terms like peepadoodles and possums. What? You know, to avoid offending people and children who refuse to accept their own biological reality. The LGBTQ Rainbow Club and Witchcraft Heights Elementary School, that's actually the name of the school, is a K-5 public school in Salem, reportedly sent a letter to teachers and staff informing them that kids in the group were bothered by hearing gendered language used in classrooms, complaining that teachers had divided classes up by gender and had the audacity to refer to students as boys and girls. To correct this egregious error, the club facilitators sent out a letter with a lengthy list of gender-neutral alternatives to such offensive terms to avoid upsetting students who don't know if they're a boy or a girl. If you're running a school and your students don't know if they're boys or girls, you have failed at public education. I mean, that's day one, folks. Okay. Among the new terms are cool cats, mateys, and citizens. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to read for you the allowed list of gender-neutral terms that the teachers are being ordered to use in the classroom for, what was this, third graders? Elementary school, so K-5, okay? Here's what they're allowed to use. Not, hey, boys and girls, but here the following list, okay? Readers, scientists, yeah, because we know that elementary schools are filled with scientists. I mean, these people are delusional. Citizens, mathematicians. there's another one. What? Hey, mathematicians, can you count to 5? Probably not, because you're in a libtard public school system. You don't even know what integers are. Okay, little Einsteins. That's what you're supposed to call little Einsteins. You're little Einsteins, but you're too stupid to know if you're a boy or a girl. That's a problem. Possums. Little possums over here. All the non-possums over there. What you call me? You call me a possum? Sounds derogatory. Cool cats and kittens. I'm starting to feel like there's going to be a drag queen spanking involved here somewhere along the line, that they're going to line up little boys and girls and start, you know, whipping them dominatrix style, like we talked about yesterday with the mayor of Burbank. Scholars, you can call them scholars. Oh, and y'all. So the teachers of a school are being told to call the students y'all. Hey, y'all. Y'all come on over here in this corner. And then, by the way, the term following y'all is, I'm not even joking, it's all y'all. Why don't all y'all come on over here to this corner? But not the possums, and not the kittens, nor the Einsteins and the mathematicians, but all y'all, everybody else y'all, over here. No wonder these people are all, dare I say, retarded by the time they get out of these schools. You can refer to them as peeps, peepadoodles. Peepadoodles, again, sounds perverted somehow. You can refer to them as mateys, and it says you can pair that with the word ahoy. So you can't call little boys and girls, but you can say, ahoy, mateys. All y'all mateys are pirates and scientists. Come on over here to this corner. Like, what is going on? You can call them campers. Hey, little campers and kittens and possums. That's not weird. You can call them pals. Oh, are you my pal? Hey, pal. You want to come over here, pal, and count some integers? And you can call them epic humans, because we all know that kindergarten through fifth grade is truly an epic time in human development. This is when humans are at their peak. You are epic. And you could also call them awesome humans. Also, you're so awesome. When you're a possum, it almost rhymes. You're awesome possum and your kittens and your scientists and your little Einsteins and all y'all pirates. Ahoy, mateys over in this corner. Is it any wonder children are confused? Is it any wonder they come out of these public schools and they don't even know, what am I, a boy or a girl? Am I a pirate? Am I a genius? Am I an idiot? Am I an animal? What am I? No wonder. For God's sake, tell them the truth. You're a boy. You're a girl. Get used to it because it's not going to change. You're going to live your whole life in that body that you're in right now. You might as well come to terms with it. Ahoy, mateys. For real. I noticed they're missing the term whippersnappers, which there's a term that harkens back to a younger year. Hey there, whippersnappers. Today we're gonna read. We're gonna learn. We're gonna do some learning. We're gonna educate everybody, the whippersnappers, how to read them words. We're gonna start with the word ain't, because you're gonna use it a lot. You ain't got to like it, but we're going to start with ain't. No, seriously, folks, if I know most of my audience is, of course, you know, not children, not young people. And you and I, if you've been wondering why seemingly no one who is young is qualified to think, with some exceptions, by the way, there are some exceptions. But by and large, especially the public educated youth in America today are utterly incapable of rational thought. Well, now you know. The public education is basically an exercise in mass mental confusion. They don't teach them anything. They confuse them on purpose. And public schools have become, quite honestly, you know, indoctrination, dare I say, you know, factories of woke, like just woke-tard factories. That's what they are. No wonder everybody's confused. All right, we're going to go into the special report, which is critical. Sorry, I spent too long on this other news. Can't help myself sometimes, but we're going to go to the Black Sea special report. But I've got to tell you about one of our breakthrough new products at healthrangerstore.com, and it's called 5G Defense. And here's what you need to know about this. Now, there's a story from Children's Health Defense, which was published by Dr. Joseph Mercola in August of 2022, so about a year ago. And in this story, he says the following: persistent exposures to microwave frequencies, like those from cell phones, can cause mitochondrial dysfunction and nuclear DNA damage from free radicals produced from peroxynitrite. Now, these peroxynitrite molecules are produced in the blood upon exposure to EMF, electromagnetic fields, including non-ionizing EMF exposure, which includes 5G. And you know, 5G signals target you specifically. They are actually directionally beamed at your phone that you are carrying. And so you are kind of enveloped in a cone of 5G energy that tracks you and follows you. And that's how your 5G devices actually work. Well, this entire time, the 5G electromagnetism, the signals, it is penetrating your skin. It goes through your skin. It goes through your muscle tissue. It goes into your blood, and there it produces these peroxynitrite molecules, which are extremely toxic free radicals, some of the most toxic free radicals that can possibly exist in your body. And that's what causes the DNA damage and the mitochondrial dysfunction, as Dr. Joseph Mercola is pointing out. And he even describes the function. He says, low-frequency microwave radiation opens your VGCCs, which is voltage-gated calcium channels. This is how calcium moves in and out of the cell membranes of the cells in your body, thereby allowing an abnormal influx of calcium ions into the cell, which in turn activates nitric oxide and superoxide, which react nearly instantaneously to form peroxynitrite, that then causes carbonate free radicals, which are one of the most damaging reactive nitrogen species known and thought to be a root cause for many of today's chronic diseases. This is why people are getting so sick in the presence of 5G, or one of the reasons why. And Dr. Mercola goes on to explain that if you want an in-depth understanding of peroxynitrites and the harm they inflict, you need to see the special report called Nitric Oxide and Peroxynitrite in Health and Disease. It's got 1,500 references, and it's written by Drs. Paul Pacher, P-A-C-H-E-R, Joseph Beckman, and Dr. Lucas Liaudet, L-I-A-U-D-E-T, if you want to look that up for yourself. All right, now, so that's the background. So I went to my team and said, look, what is the most effective nutrient in existence that we could possibly find that blocks the free radical damage caused by peroxynitrites? And the answer, if you do the research, by the way, you'll come up with the same answer yourself. The answer is a molecule. It's an antioxidant enzyme known as SOD, or superoxide dismutase. And so this SOD, which is extremely expensive, by the way, and there's probably a lot of counterfeit products out there because this stuff, the cost is insane. I don't know how many thousands of dollars per kilo it is, but it's probably very similar to the cost of cocaine, seriously, in terms of how much it is per gram. Anyway, we were able to obtain a source of this called Organic Extramel. That's just the brand name, E-X-T-R-A-M-E-L. This is a proprietary organic freeze-dried melon juice concentrate derived from, you know, essentially melon fruit. It's coated with organic vegetable wax and then organic enzymatically fermented guar bean fiber. Okay, that's what makes up this ingredient. And then, as we say, according to a study published in the Nutrition Journal, a supplementation with this ingredient can help, quote, support a healthy stress response and naturally help soothe feelings of occasional fatigue. So those are the health claims associated with this. I want to be clear that this ingredient does not block radiation. Rather, it helps your body fight free radical damage, and hence the stress, healthy stress response claims. But we say that SOD can play a vital role in protecting your body against free radical damage and supporting overall health. And I also do want to be clear, this is not any kind of protection against ionizing radiation damage, such as nuclear fallout following a nuclear war, or, you know, taking a tour through Chernobyl or drinking Fukushima water or anything like that. That would be a misinterpretation of this. This is about deactivating the very dangerous free radicals that can be formed in your body based on exposure to microwave radiation. That's what this is, and hence our name, 5G Defense. So if you're wondering why this little canister of this costs almost $20, that's why. It's crazy expensive to put this together. We have formulated it with vitamin C, magnesium, which is magnesium glycinate, selenium, which has other special functions that are associated with this, N-acetylcysteine, NAC, plus the organic extramel, which comes from the melon fruit that I mentioned and has a high amount of SOD in it, okay? So you can take this powder, you can blend it in any kind of water, you can put it in a smoothie. I've got some. I'm going to start blending this. I mean, we just got this. This is fresh off the production lot. I'm going to start blending this into my own smoothies as well because I need extra protection against free radical damage because I live in the world like you do where there's all kinds of electromagnetic pollution all over the place. And, you know, I use Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and, you know, mobile devices here and there. I try to minimize it, but you can't function in this world without using it to some extent. So this is what I use now, 5G Defense, as a supplement to help support my natural stress response. And that's our claim. That's what it's good for. So you can find that at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for 5G Defense. And to my knowledge, I think we're the only ones in the world that have formulated this product. I've not seen anything out there like this. There are supplements that have SOD, but different formulations and usually a ton of filler because SOD is so expensive. So we have a relatively high amount of SOD in here with these other complementary ingredients. And by the way, a serving is just 1 gram, which is about 1/3 of a teaspoon. So a little bit goes a long way. Check it out now, and we thank you for your support. Thank you for your patience while I explain this too, by the way. All right, with that said, we're going to jump right into the special report about the Black Sea and what I believe is shaping up to be a very high likelihood of a false flag attack on U.S. naval assets in the Black Sea to be blamed on Russia so that the U.S. can justify entering the war, just going into direct World War III. I think that's what the Biden regime is trying to do because they are suicide lunatics. I mean, seriously, they're going to get millions, if not billions, of human beings killed if we don't stop these lunatics from exploiting, abusing, weaponizing their power. They are the most dangerous entities on this planet other than Satan himself, which, I mean, they answer to Satan, so I guess that's a multi-layered problem. But in any case, check out this special report, and I'll be back on the other side of that with an introduction to the next interview. Enjoy. Now, I want to be clear right up front that I don't have any special intel on this. What you're about to hear is just my own conclusions based on public news information, public announcements, and so on. So those of you listening from the deep state, you don't have to wonder who gave me this. Nobody gave me this. This is all my own conclusion. But it's now clear that there is a Black Sea operation, a military exercise that's being conducted right now. It's from September 11th through September 15th. And it's clear to me that this exercise is being used as a cover for a massive false flag event that's going to be carried out by the United States either during the exercise or in the months following, where the exercise is used as a cover story to plant the weapon system, which, by the way, is exactly what happened with Balt Ops. Remember Balt Ops, the Baltic Sea operations? That's where the United States Navy said that they had a diving drill in the Baltic Sea, and then they planted the explosives on the Nord Stream pipeline. And, you know, Seymour Hersh, of course, has completely dissected this with several sources and whistleblowers. The U.S. Navy planted the explosives, and then several months later, they detonated the Nord Stream pipeline. And to this day, the corporate media cover-up is complete. No one will dare say, not anywhere in the Western world, not in Europe, not in the United States or Canada, no one will dare say that the United States Navy ran that operations and planted the explosives and blew up in an act of terrorism the civilian infrastructure of an energy pipeline that fed Germany in particular. And the destruction of Nord Stream has led to a rapid collapse of German industry, by the way. It's made Germany incredibly weak, and it's shocking to me that even Germany won't speak out and tell the truth about the Nord Stream pipeline. But that was all covered up by Balt Ops, a naval exercise in the Baltic Sea. So one thing that we know from history, you know, studying 9/11, for example, which was, of course, a false flag operation planned and engineered and allowed to be carried out by the United States government with controlled demolition in Building 7, World Trade Center 7, in order to bring down that third building, the building which was not hit by airplanes. By the way, yeah, the Twin Towers were hit by airplanes, but Building 7 was brought down by controlled demolition. And so what we know from history is that false flags are used by the U.S. Empire in order to shore up power or to bury evidence. That was part of the reason Building 7 was demolished, was to destroy records of the CIA, by the way, financial records of money laundering and all that stuff that goes on. But also false flags are used in order to usurp power, to override the Constitution, to govern by crisis. You know, never let a crisis go to waste, right? So that's what false flags are used for. And False flags can also be used to initiate war by blaming the enemy. And in fact, after the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up by the U.S. Navy, they blamed Russia, which was absurd. Why would Russia blow up its own gas pipeline that actually was responsible for billions of dollars of exports of natural gas, right? So this new operation in the Baltic Sea, which is taking place right now, it's called Seabreeze 23. Seabreeze 23. Now, this is being done at multiple levels. At one level, it's putting a high degree of a military presence into the Black Sea in order to try to provoke Russia with a military response. And, you know, try to get Putin to attack that naval fleet there and then say, oh, we have to go to war with Russia. So that's the first effort. But if that fails, then the United States is prepared to set off their own attack on their own naval assets. In other words, the U.S. is likely to unleash a nuclear attack against its own naval assets in the Black Sea in order to blame that nuke on Russia and to therefore launch a nuclear war against Russia, because the United States is losing so badly in Ukraine, so badly, and the U.S. can't keep up. You know, Russia is out manufacturing the West by a lot. Russia has its own self-reliant, you know, self-contained supply chain for energy, for munitions, for steel, for tanks, all of this. The West can't keep up. The West can't provide sufficient munitions. You know, Ukraine has run out of artillery ammo and artillery pieces, largely. They're being destroyed on a routine basis. So the West is desperate, and they desperately need to change this equation and to escalate it into a nuclear conflict. Well, how do you do that? You pull a false flag, like a Gulf of Tonkin type of incident. Except in this case, no one stops it. So what we should be watching for in the next just couple of days, and then there's another window beyond that, which I'll talk about. But over the next couple of days, we should be watching to see if there is a major hypersonic missile, like a nuclear hypersonic missile attack on the naval assets of the United States and the other NATO allies that are joining in that exercise. This might be set off by the West itself. So there could be, a nuclear bomb that's on one of the ships and is detonated on one of the ships on purpose to wipe out that fleet in order to get America into a world war with Russia. Now, this has a lot of similarities to Pearl Harbor. So Pearl Harbor was, of course, engineered. It was allowed to happen. First, Japan was provoked economically with a naval blockade, which is eerily similar to Russia being cut off from the SWIFT system. So Japan was in a desperate situation where it had no source of energy, and Japan knew it was going to have to go to war then with the United States of America in order to stop the naval blockade. And then there was a stand down order given to the radar operators out of Hawaii so that they would not flag the incoming attack, all the Japanese fighters and bombers that were part of the Pearl Harbor attack. And so there was, an engineered attack. Now, of course, key naval ships were ordered to leave Pearl Harbor just one or two days earlier, so they were not there. And what was left behind was largely either obsolete ships or ships that needed desperate repairs and weren't really seaworthy anyway. And so when Japan blew up all those ships, it didn't really hurt the U.S. Navy that much, but it did cause the public to get behind the war. And that was the whole point. The public didn't want to go to war with Japan in the Pacific. We're already fighting a war, with Hitler, the Nazis. And the American people just didn't want to fight a two-front war, or any war for that matter. They just wanted to focus on doing business at home. So this engineered event, which was kind of like a 9/11 type of event, Pearl Harbor was a kind of 9/11, was designed to get America into that war, just like this upcoming false flag in the Black Sea is designed to get America to support World War III with Russia and to go into a direct military conflict with Russia, to send in all the American tanks, to send in all the American F-16s with American pilots and so on, and the F-35s, and to send in the aircraft carriers and so on. This is a desperate ploy by a corrupt, incompetent regime, the Biden regime, to try to provoke World War III. Now, some of you who are well-informed about nuclear weapons, you understand that in the fallout of a nuclear weapon detonation, the isotopic ratios of the radioisotopes can be analyzed in order to determine the origin of that nuclear material, which country it came from, even which specific uranium refining operation it came from, which city in essence. So you might wonder, well, gosh, you know, if there's going to be radioisotopes that would show this nuke was set off by the West, then why would they do that? Well, the answer is they have nuclear material from Russia. In fact, remember the Uranium One scandal involving Hillary Clinton? Involving who was the former Senate leader, the senator from Nevada, who was also involved in the Uranium One uranium mining scandal and the money laundering. Well, anyway, the point is that when Hillary Clinton was supposed to be elected in 2016, the plan was to set off a nuclear detonation using Russian nuclear material on a U.S. city and then say that the Russians had attacked America. Well, actually, look, let's back up even more. So Victoria Nuland and Blinken and others currently in the State Department, but even before that, back in 2014, this was under the Obama administration. Don't forget, they carried out a coup in Ukraine to install Zelensky. The point of that was to put military and economic pressure on Russia and to essentially surround Russia with nuclear weapons that would be installed in Ukraine. The plan was to have Ukraine join NATO, and you can see that plan is still being pursued right now, and to thereby severely pressure Russia and then to strangle Russia with economic sanctions, which we saw invoked by cutting off Russia from the SWIFT system. The Nord Stream pipeline detonation was also always an option that the U.S. Navy could pull off, and they did pull off with the Balt Ops false flag operation, like I said. But the plan in 2016 was that Hillary Clinton would win the election because it was rigged. It was heavily, heavily rigged. It's just that the outpouring for Donald Trump was able to overcome the rigging, because the rigging, the people who rigged the election did not anticipate Trump's strong showing in the polls. They just hadn't planned to print that many fake ballots. And that's why in 2020, they went overboard with COVID and the mail-in ballots and all the ballot stuffing and ballot printing. And they absolutely rigged that for Joe Biden, as you well know. But you got to understand that this plan to destroy Russia has been in the making for a very long time. I mean, even back to 1991, when the West thought that Russia was destroyed and that they didn't need to worry about Russia any longer. You know, the Soviet Union, the fall of the Soviet Union. But under Putin, Russia became economically quite strong and built more trading partners and built up exports and built up its own domestic infrastructure for manufacturing and steel and technology and microprocessors. By the way, Russia makes its own microprocessors. It doesn't need Taiwan microchips. And so the West became increasingly desperate to try to destroy Russia, hence the plan to install Zelensky in 2014, and then the plan to provoke Russia into this current, you know, special military operation. And now the plan is to provoke Russia into World War III, which would justify the West's use of nuclear weapons to literally nuke Russia. Understand, this is the plan. The total destruction of Russia has been the plan for, frankly, a couple of decades. And everything that you're seeing play out is in the furtherance of that plan. And so every military exercise that you see, oh, there's going to be an exercise in the Black Sea, you should immediately start thinking to yourself, okay, how is this going to be used as a cover story for the real objective, which is the destruction of Russia. And the answer is clear. It's what I'm talking about here on this podcast. They're going to set off probably a nuke using Russian nuclear material to destroy elements of U.S. naval fleets that frankly are expendable on purpose. But they need the images of the dead U.S. sailors. They need the outrage of the American people to say, my God, you know, Russia, an unprovoked attack in violation of this and that. And, you know, 5,000 soldiers killed in the Black Sea, whatever, you know, ships burning, you know, ecological disaster, my God. And then the outrage to declare war on Russia and get the whole world to turn against Russia and then to nuke Russia. This is what it's all about. This is what's happening. The desperation of the West causes them to do desperate things, to carry out desperate false flags. That's what this is going to be. Now, okay, it might not be a nuke. They may have a biological weapon. They may have some other kind of weapon. They may use a thermobaric weapon that they can blame on Russia's Kinzhal weapon system that can carry, you know, thermobaric warheads. But nuclear is also very likely. Now, it doesn't mean this attack is going to happen in the next 1 to 2 days. It could be that this exercise in the Black Sea is a cover story to plant a nuke in the ocean, just like the U.S. Navy planted explosives on Nord Stream during the Balt Ops exercise, you see. And that this nuke, it could be on a buoy that is going to be anchored to the bottom of the ocean, and then at the appropriate time with a satellite command or whatever kind of local, you know, command broadcast, the buoy is let loose from the ocean floor. It floats up to the surface of the ocean, and then it detonates a nuclear warhead right on the surface of the ocean, which obliterates whatever, you know, ships obviously are in the vicinity. And then that's blamed on Russia. So could be a nuclear buoy, a false flag attack, or a nuclear weapon on a ship, or a thermobaric weapon, or any of these scenarios. This is what's being planned. I'm certain of it just by studying history. And I don't have any, you know, super secret sources on this, like I said earlier. This is just putting the pieces of the puzzle together and understanding how the evil empire of the United States, under its current occupation, how it operates. They are deceivers. They are murderers. They don't care how many people they kill, even their own military personnel. Just like Pearl Harbor, just like 9/11, they killed civilians. Thousands of New Yorkers were murdered on 9/11 in 2001. Why? So that the deep state under the CIA, under the Bushes, could expand its surveillance powers and spy on the American people under the label of terrorism. And then we've seen that spying ever since, right? So this is so obvious. It's so self-evident that it's almost a no-brainer. So watch out, folks, watch out. When whatever this is, when it explodes, you know, nuclear or thermobaric or whatever, that's the beginning of World War III. And that's the moment at which there's going to be mass panic for all kinds of preparedness items. You know, I mean, everything that you can think of, you know, bullets, iodine, food, you name it, it's all going to be wiped out just within a matter of a day or two, especially as people start to realize this is going to be World War III. The U.S. will then invade Russia, or attempt to, and this is going to be a global war. And then don't forget that Russia has the Poseidon underwater nuclear drones with 100 megaton warheads. That's a lot. That's a big warhead. What is that, 5,000 times bigger than Hiroshima? And they can detonate those off the U.S. East Coast and inundate the entire East Coast with a tidal wave of radioactive ocean water. So this is probably where it's all headed, because cooler heads are not prevailing. The leaders in charge of this in the United States are lunatics, raging, genocidal lunatics like Victoria Nuland, who should probably be renamed Nuala Lunatic, Nuala Luland. How would you combine lunatic and Newland. Luna Nulatic, something like that. That should be her name, because she's a crazy psychopath, and she's genocidal, and she wants war. She's like a female Darth Vader, and she's gonna sacrifice millions of lives to get what she wants, which is violence against people of Russian ethnicity. That's what she wants. So this is where I think it's all headed. Watch carefully what happens next, because the false flag is the next card to be played by the West in order to get what they want, which is escalation into World War III. Sorry to bring you this news, but this is my honest assessment of what's happening. All right. Get prepared. Take care. All right. I hope you enjoyed that special report. Take heed of the warnings. And now I'm going to introduce the interview here with Leslie Manoukian and Kendall Nelson, producers of the Greater Good movie, documentary about vaccines and the vaccine industry. And this will be shown Saturday. So this coming Saturday, and for 11 days, you can watch it for free. So register at brightu.com. So enjoy this interview. It is amazingly hard hitting. You're going to love it. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, we have Brighteon University now, which is brightu.com. That's just the letter U, brightu.com. And we feature amazing documentaries, typically launching on a Saturday and then repeating for several days. And now coming up here, we have a brand new documentary. Well, I should say it's a new launch of an existing documentary that is something that has been one of my favorites for many years. It's called The Greater Good. And we have two of the producers of the film, Leslie Manoukian and Kendall Nelson, joining us now to talk about this film, which was created long before COVID, but so much of it has come true as we have witnessed and, you know, endured through COVID itself. But welcome both of you to the show today. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having us, Mike. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Now, this film, The Greater Good, Leslie, give us an overview of what the film covers for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. And they're going to be able to see it soon, again, for free. But tell us about the film, please.
Yeah, so the movie is all about the whole vaccine controversy. It's a deep dive on, it covers essentially every issue that the vaccine debate is comprised of. So the fact that there's a, you know, improper use of placebos, there aren't any placebos, that children are being injured, that they're linked to learning disabilities and speech delays, that there's an unholy alliance between the vaccine industry and the regulators that are supposed to, you know, regulate them. The fact that they don't do proper controls, that there are all sorts of adventitious agents in them, and that these are causing harm. And very importantly, that they've not been properly studied. So we cover it all. We don't go into depth on any one of those things because we wanted to give people an overview of what the issue is. And I have to say, Mike, that I think the movie is more relevant today than it was when we first released it 12 years ago, because it touches people now having been through COVID. They understand what we were talking about, the corruption in our federal agencies, the corruption at CDC and FDA. They get it. Like, you know, people back then, only people who were really in the know, like you, really understood what was going on. Most people hadn't done a deep dive on it. And now I think they really understand it. It resonates very, very deeply today.
Oh, yeah, that's a really critical point. I think the whole COVID experience woke up so many people about the shenanigans and the fake science and how everything's rigged. Oh, it's emergency use authorization, but it's never really been proven safe or effective. In fact, Kendall, I'd like to ask you, you were one of the producers of the film, correct?
Correct, yes.
And what do you see today? Now, here we are many years later after COVID. What do you see, like some of the warnings in the film that ended up being in reality far worse than what the film could have imagined?
Gosh, well, you know, like Leslie said, we touched on a lot of stuff in the film that had to do with, you know, everything from the ingredients of what's in vaccines to the bogus nature of the trials, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And I think, like Leslie said, now people have woken up, because at the time that we made the film, they really only went after the children, right? And we always said, well, they're going to come after the adults. And then when COVID happened, what they do. They came after both the children and the adults. So I think people have woken up and they've realized that everything we put in the film is even worse than, I mean, it's worse today than it was then, for sure, right? We're facing lots of different state mandates for children to go to school. We also saw mandates with COVID and people having to, you know, decide between their jobs or getting the shots. So I don't know. I think things are just amped up more than they were before. So now we've added more shots to the schedule, you know, by adding COVID to that. The FDA just approved the newest COVID shot yesterday.
Another emergency use authorization.
Yeah.
Right. When there's no official emergency.
Go ahead, Leslie. If I could chime in too, Mike. If you look at, we explained that 1 in 6 children had a neurological complication or, disability. We explained how there were GI issues in so many kids, asthma, allergies, chronic, you know, autoimmune disease, chronic inflammatory conditions, autism. Those things have only gotten worse. And yet no one's declaring an emergency, right? The latest data out of CDC is that I think 1 in 36 kids have autism. It's 1 in 22 boys. Yeah. That's not a health emergency. That's not an emergency. This is insane. So all that's happened is the body of science documenting the whole spectrum of vaccine injury has grown to such an alarming state. You have to be blind as a bat or some kind of a stooge to deny that it exists.
Well, and because I completely agree. I just want to add that when your film was made, they had not yet rolled out mRNA injections in the technology. So your film was focused on a lot of the things like the aluminum adjuvants and the polysorbate and so on, other many questionable ingredients or even traces of mercury in certain flu shots. But today now we have really, you know, self-replicating mRNA, which you know, is designed to take over the ribosomes of the human cells and force the human cells to make non-human proteins in order to initiate an immune response. That didn't exist at all. And now we have new studies coming out showing that in some people's bodies, when they take these vaccines, their bodies continue to make those alien or foreign proteins for 6 months or longer, and perhaps forever in certain people. That risk didn't even exist at the time you made the film. What do you think about that whole issue?
Yeah, I think it's a huge issue. You know, there's this VAIDS, they call it vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency. And to me, that's the most alarming aspect of these recent shots. Now, to be perfectly fair, the other shots caused autoimmune diseases and suppressed our immune systems. There was an incredible study done out of Kyoto University many, many years ago that found that just injecting the antigen from, you know, so it would be like hepatitis B or measles, just injecting that repeatedly 3 or 4 times in lab animals was enough to overwhelm the immune system and cause dysregulation, which resulted in autoimmune syndromes. So we already knew that, even though there was never any follow-up and even though it didn't get any kind of coverage in the legacy media. But these are different. These actually suppress the immune system. There's recent research showing that kids 6 months after their shots still don't have a response, an immune response to viruses to which they are exposed.
Wow.
That's
immune
terrifying.
Suppression.
Yeah.
So it's not just that they don't work. They do the opposite of what they claim to do in many cases.
Yeah. You know, I was on an interview yesterday morning, I think it was, with this radio host in Idaho, and he's a senior citizen and his wife is as well. They both took first 2 doses of Moderna and then they got a booster, and he got super sick afterwards and hasn't fully recovered. He said, he's like, you know, this is a problem. There, the research is showing that the more doses you get, the more likely you are to get sick. They lied about it, you know, reducing hospitalizations. They knew from the very beginning that didn't happen, but it's damaging the immune system and rendering people more susceptible, not less, to all manner of illnesses.
Yeah, I absolutely. And Kendall, I want to direct this question to you, that since during COVID, we also saw the fraudulent nature of the medical industrial complex really come out, where you saw medical journals like The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine systematically and fraudulently suppressing medical studies about things that could have saved lives, such as ivermectin. Never before, I don't recall seeing that level of deliberate criminality, I would call it, in the medical journals to deprive people of treatments that could have saved lives. Isn't this kind of crossing the Rubicon moment for the medical industrial complex to really now venturing into kind of a rogue criminal enterprise, or are my words too harsh, or how would you describe it in your own words?
I think you're describing it pretty well. Certainly when we made our film, the same sort of stuff applied. The same funny business was going on with, you know, the fact that there were hundreds and hundreds of studies showing that vaccines caused damage, and they were, you know, always suppressed. But then you can look at something like, you know, when after COVID happened and Pfizer came out with their vaccines, you know, it was very telling when a judge ordered them to release all of their documents, and they did everything in their power to suppress these documents that showed that they knew that the vaccines were harming people before they ever, you know, went to market with the emergency use authorization. So I don't know. I think that the problem is getting worse, but we have to remember that these same companies have paid out billions of dollars in fines, and they've been doing so for a long time.
You're right. But in addition, they've also paid out billions of dollars in advertising revenue to control the corporate media, right? We've all seen, you know, today's tennis match brought to you by Pfizer, and then someone collapses from a heart attack and dies, brought to you by Pfizer. But it's all over the media. Our society seems to be owned by pharma at this point.
Right. Well, Mike, it's very interesting in our film that you brought that up, because one of our characters is a gal named Gabby Swink, and she was injured by the HPV vaccine. And she would have never gotten that vaccine had all of the television that she had been watching not been advertising, you know, with these very seductive ads towards teenagers. At the time, girls, you know, with cool kids skateboarding and, you know, other kids jumping rope. And, you know, it was all the cool kids were getting the HPV vaccine. And so, you know, the gal in our film, Gabby, who was so badly injured, she went to her mom and said, I need to get this. I need to be, you know, one less, like the campaign said, meaning one less cervical cancer victim. So certainly the advertising, you know, that only happens here in the U.S. and I think in New Zealand, as far as I know, it, you know, it plays a big factor. And the pharmaceutical companies are paying a lot of money to advertise their products. And, you know, we saw during COVID, too, when friendships ended because one person was vaccinated and another person wasn't, you know, just how effective all of this advertising is.
Oh, yeah. The propaganda gaslighting is off the charts. I've got a question for you, Leslie, next, but I want to show the website brightyou.com where people can go register and watch the film for free, The Greater Good. You just click there, you enter your email address, you can watch it for free beginning September 16th, which is a Saturday. And the year we're recording this is 2023, but it runs for 11 days. You can watch the film for free beginning September 16th. So again, just go there, brightyou.com, register, enjoy the entire film. And then there are also, you can optionally purchase the film for download with a lot of bonus learning modules that are included. And you can find out the details about that at brightyou.com should you want to support the filmmakers and choose to purchase this film. Now, my question to you, Leslie, is that, you know, interestingly, recently Netflix put out a very powerful series on the Purdue Pharma saga and the Sackler family and the abuses of science and medicine that were involved in OxyContin and, you know, how they pushed, you know, pain as something, a new kind of disease that had to be treated with stronger and stronger OxyContin, which was just a clever, research name for, I think, was it, you know, heroin or I forgot what the core molecule was, but a highly addictive, very dangerous core molecules. So we've arrived at this point in society where now one pharmaceutical company can be portrayed as incredibly evil for violating, you know, due process and violating, you know, working the FDA and buying off the media. But at the same time, no one will yet in mainstream, no one will attack the vaccine companies, even though they did the exact same thing, I would argue. What are your thoughts on that?
When I watched that series, Dope Sick, I had the exact same reaction. This is a limited hangout. They want viewers to believe that, oh, okay, you know, J&J, because Johnson & Johnson was involved in this as well, and the Sackler family, bad actors, but that's all it is. The truth is, you know, you ask Kendall about what's happened in the intervening years since the film came out, The Greater Good. It's only gotten worse. Pharma's stranglehold on our society has only gotten worse. There are vaccine clinics in our schools. Parental rights have been eroded. The pharmaceutical industry's reach in terms of the media has only extended. And they just view it as a cost of doing business. You know, I share the story when I do interviews sometimes, but basically I used to be a Wall Street executive and I listened to the CEO of one of the biggest vaccine makers in the world tell me that, and they didn't only, it's a pharmaceutical company, not only a vaccine maker, but that their new drug that was in phase three trials was going to kill some people. And the bad news was that they would put a, have to put a black box warning on their packaging. But the good news was that they'd still be able to do $7 billion in peak sales.
Wow.
You and I are nothing but a cost of doing business. They know they're going to injure and kill people. They don't care because they have paid $35 billion in fines in the last 15 or 20 years. And that's just a rounding error on their profits. I mean, it's not about human health. They have a literally a license to print money because they have no liability under the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act once a shot gets onto the CDC's recommended schedule. And under the PrEP Act, when there's an emergency, they have no liability. So they literally have a license to print money liability free. What industry wouldn't love that? I mean, it's outrageous. It is literally criminal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is criminal. I mean, imagine if Purdue Pharma had total liability immunity and if the government mandated that everybody take OxyContin. Then that would be similar.
And bought their product.
Right.
And remember, the CDC is the biggest purchaser of vaccines in the nation. They buy over $5 billion of vaccines every year. So this is just appalling. And the FDA, let's not forget that FDA receives 2.65. I'm getting exercised because it outrages me so much. $2.655 billion in user fees the FDA took from the pharmaceutical industry last year. That's 65% of the drug approver's salaries. The pharmaceutical industry is buttering FDA's bread, and those drug approvers know it. They are owned by the pharmaceutical industry for all intents and purposes, and the American public is suffering as a result of it, and every American should be outraged.
So then greed and this legal immunity leads to abuses of power, and I think we're seeing that in spades now. In fact, Kendall, my question to you on this is, you know, at what point does the number of deaths and injuries become, you know, where they can't cover it up anymore? Because I've interviewed people like Ed Dowd, who I think he and his research team have put together very reliable and I think rather conservative numbers on the number of Americans killed following these vaccines, and also around the world. You know, in the UK, for example, the public health data are clear that these vaccines are causing an increase in death, not a decrease in death, and the injuries, just in the United States alone, probably at least 5 million people have been maimed or disabled, which is affecting the economy as well. Not just the human suffering, but the productivity of the nation, the GDP of the nation. How does a nation go on when you're maiming your own people by the millions? Question to you.
Well, I mean, absolutely. No doubt these, you know, especially with the advent of the COVID shots, the rate of injury is skyrocketing. And everybody knows somebody who's been injured at this point. I mean, I get approached all of the time and from people who don't know what business I'm in, you know, that they just tell me about their vaccine injury story. And I think as of today, there are, I don't know, about 1.5 million adverse events reported to VAERS, to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, from COVID shots. There have been, I didn't look it up recently, but I think there's been about 35,000 deaths. And we know that only about 1% of vaccine injuries are ever reported to VAERS. So I think, you know, I think their time is up. You know, I don't think that they're going to be able to cover this up for very much longer. I feel like more and more people are being injured. And didn't we just have a famous newscaster come out and say, was it Megyn Kelly? She just came and said that she was injured by the shots, you know? So, I mean, the more it happens to more people who are in the public eye, I think the more people will realize that this can't happen again. And, you know, what scares me right now is we're seeing a big push towards a comeback with COVID, you know, and which is completely bogus, I believe. You know, I think it's just to sell the newest shots. But, you know, the question is, will people comply? Will they put the masks on again? Will they allow their, you know, their children to, you know, not go to school anymore and their businesses to be closed and stuff? And so for me, the answer really is that we all just cannot comply with this sort of stuff anymore. And
I think that's where most of the American people are. Not everybody, but they're at that do not comply stage. I mean, I was shocked that even vaccine advocate Paul Offit has publicly stated, don't take the boosters. you know, it's bad when Paul Offit says, don't take them. Right. Probably, I mean, at least in my mind, I think that's a strategy on his part. He's realizing the injuries and deaths are getting out of control and they've got to put a lid on that to cover it up is my guess. But I mean, I can't speak for him, but he did say, you don't have to take the boosters. And he's advocated 10,000 vaccines for children. Right. So, you know, that's a big change. And I mean, think about it. When you made your film, you and I, and the people who had concerns about vaccines only represented a very small percentage of the American population. It might have been 2%, if even that. Today, it's at least 50%. Mm-hmm. And they've made it a mainstream topic. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's one silver lining of COVID, right? Is that people are waking up and they're realizing that, you know, their freedoms are being taken away. Vaccines, you know, vaccine injury is not rare. It's not one in a million like they say it is. It's actually quite common. So I guess, you know, I don't want to say there was anything good about COVID, but if there's a silver lining, that's it. The fact that people are waking up.
And there's so much resistance, pushback right now. You know, we saw recently a couple of organizations try to push mandatory masks. And there was so much pushback, they had to back off of that very quickly. One of them was, a college. And one of them was a healthcare organization, and they had to back off of that very, very quickly. Leslie, your thoughts on the pushback?
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's a recent data, I think it was a poll done by Rasmussen maybe, that said that 30% of Americans know someone who they believe was killed by the shot.
Wow.
That's a staggering number, 30%, right? And then you look at the rates of kindergartners who aren't getting their full vaccination schedule. Idaho, where we live, is now the number one state at 10%. And I think that's, you know, I don't think that's great data. I think it may be much more than that. I think this has been, they've opened Pandora's box with all the COVID protocols and all of the ridiculous, I mean, truly lacking in science measures that they forced us to do, the six, you know, social distancing, right? There's nothing social about it. The masking, which has been proven, are ridiculous. And so I think that what they're doing is they've really shot themselves in the foot. They've destroyed the credibility of our federal health agencies. And I don't see that coming back anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think it's only going to get worse. And, you know, if you look at the booster that they released last fall, 17% of Americans took it. Only 17%. That's an unmitigated disaster from a public health standpoint in terms of messaging, right? I think it's a public health success because that means that fewer people will be injured. But my point is that if you are CDC or FDA and this is happening, that 83% of the people didn't comply with your, guidance, you got to be sweating it.
Yeah, and the courts are even pushing back. We saw recently the FDA get hammered by, I don't know if it was the Fifth Circuit, I don't recall exactly, saying that, you know, you can't go out and tell doctors not to prescribe ivermectin, which is exactly what the FDA did. And, you know, that was bad medicine. And the FDA tried to justify it in, quote, the greater good, saying, oh, you shouldn't take ivermectin, that's for horses. Well, actually, ivermectin saved many lives. And I to this day now, I take ivermectin if I start to feel symptoms, and it works for me, but that's just my own personal medical choice. But I want to ask both of you, just in the interest of time here, because we only have a few minutes left, how can people, or what are you continuing to do in this space? How can people follow your work? You know, you can give out your social media channels or websites or any, what other projects are you working on? That kind of thing. We'll start with Kendall on that. How about that?
Well, you know, of course, Leslie and I continue to do our education through our film, through our website, thegreatergoodmovie.org or greatergoodmovie.org. But I think we really should turn this over to Leslie because she deserves a huge round of applause for her organization that she started, Health Freedom Defense Fund. And I'd really like to give her that time to talk about her new organization.
Let's do it.
Okay. So basically, when I started researching vaccines 22 years ago, I was shocked by what I learned. I was shocked that vaccines injured and killed children and that this was, you know, public policy. And that's what spurred me on to make the movie The Greater Good. But it also led me to do a deep dive on what's going on from a legislative standpoint and human rights standpoint, constitutional rights. And so when 2020 unrolled, I was well aware of the attacks on parental rights and our basic human rights that had been underway for two decades. And at the beginning of 2020, I said to Kendall and to my husband and to anybody who'd listen, they're finally going to use some, you know, it's here, the big one is here, and they're going to use a public health scare to coerce and force vaccinations on people. And some people thought that was silly, but I know Kendall didn't think that was silly at all. And I decided I was going to do something about it. And so I started Health Freedom Defense Fund, which you can find at healthfreedomdefense.org. And we have filed over a dozen lawsuits in the last 3 years, three of them against the Biden administration. We're the organization that stopped the federal travel mask mandate. So, you know, mid-flight when people got to take their masks off in April 18th of 2022, that was because of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And we actually have a huge case in experiencing oral argument on Thursday in Seattle in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is a huge case which has the potential to affect every American, because what's happened for more than a century is public health officials, governments, universities, people like this have used a lawsuit from 1905 called Jacobson versus Massachusetts to give them, you know about it, right, Mike?
Yeah, right.
So they've used that as a justification for tyrannical mandates. But the thing is, Jacobson doesn't say that the state can plunge a needle into your arm. It doesn't say that.
No.
It says that in an extreme case like smallpox with a 30 to 40% death rate, a city or a municipality can mandate a shot or fine people who choose not to take it. Okay. The problem is that ever since basically 60, 70 years ago, after World War II and the Nuremberg trials, we have the Nuremberg Code, we've got all these other international treaties, and we've also got a big body of case law in the United States that says that you have a zone of privacy around yourself, that you have a right to refuse unwanted medical interventions, that you have the right to refuse potentially life-extending treatment, life-saving treatment, all sorts of things, that you have the right to decide what you put in your body. And so all the more recent case law is at odds with Jacobson. And our case against LAUSD is going to push the courts, essentially demand that the courts, and we'll take it to the Supreme Court if we have to, that the courts actually reconcile this disparity, because we've come a long way. And this case is huge. And so we have oral argument in that case on Thursday in Seattle. And we've, you know, we won our first case against LAUSD. They rescinded their emergency use authorization vaccine mandate the day after we filed suit. We've sued tons and tons of times and have a really strong success rate. And so, you know, I'm super grateful for anybody who wants to help us and who wants to support us. And you can find all of our work, lots of resources for the public at healthfreedomdefense.org, presentations that we've done. You know, there people have used our resources literally, like the parents in Bishop Unified School District in California used our resources together with a local attorney to fight their school district, and they won a $400,000 settlement because their children were bullied and discriminated against for not being vaccinated.
You know, this is extraordinary. I wasn't aware of all those details of the work that you've done at Health Freedom Defense. So let me just give out the website again, healthfreedomdefense.org, and there's a donate button right there. Make a donation for people who wish to help support your outstanding work. And you know, something just came up recently that's related to all of this. You're probably aware of this, but New Mexico Governor Grisham, you know, just issued an emergency order in the name of public health to deprive concealed carry holders of the right to carry concealed firearms that the state had already permitted them to do so with a concealed carry license. So, but the point is, because this is not a Second Amendment interview here, but the point is that they cited public health to deprive you of your Second Amendment rights. Now, if that's the precedent, and the New Mexico governor has doubled down on this, Governor Grisham, she's gone crazy with this. She says, I have the right to rescind all your constitutional rights at any time, for any reason, without due process, just my own personal feelings about the situation. I can rescind your constitutional rights. That's essentially what she said. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's essentially the same thing. She says that they're not absolute. But if that were to stand, then wouldn't that be the precedent that any governor needs anywhere in the country to dismiss all your rights, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, First, Second, everything, gone instantly because of public health?
So, I mean, I don't hope you don't mind if I take this, Kendall, but this is exactly what I'm fighting, right? Health Freedom Defense Fund's mission is to enshrine in the public consciousness and codify in law our right to bodily autonomy, absolute right to bodily autonomy. And what we're seeing by Governor Grisham is nothing less than the weaponization of public health against the American people. That's it. They can use, if you follow this to its logical conclusion, they can do anything to you in the name of public health. Look what New York has tried to do with their quarantine law, right? My friend Bobby Ann Cox of Cox Lawyers, she's the one who sued Hochul over their quarantine rule that was issued by the Department of Health in New York. They want to be able to literally quarantine you and hold you without any due process when you're not even proven to be sick with anything or contagious with anything.
Yeah.
This is outrageous. And this is about guns. I mean, this is ridiculous. Our Second Amendment right should be absolute. She said her oath to the Constitution was not absolute. If they can do this, what else? Climate change? They don't like how you're driving, that you paint your house the wrong color. I mean, what are they going to do? You speak out against the government? We're already seeing this. They're going to use the digital currency.
They can create emergencies and cite those. They can set off a bomb somewhere and then say, oh, there was a bomb. All your rights are gone.
Totally. I mean, any emergency that they deem to be an emergency can be cause to strip you of your rights. And that should be abhorrent to every single American. I mean, full stop.
Yep. Kendall, you want to add to that?
Oh, I just couldn't agree more. I mean, I just think it's so important that we protect our freedoms in every aspect of the Constitution, not just our Second Amendment or our First Amendment. I think it's, it's interesting because Leslie and I sometimes say that, our viewpoint of the world was very different before we made the greater good. And the vaccine issue really was an incredible learning lesson for both of us, showing just how important freedoms are and bodily autonomy and all the things that go with it, but how tied in all of the other issues that us in the in the freedom fight are always fighting for. So whether it's the Second Amendment or freedom of speech or, the right to or not to put something in your body medically, it's all tied together. And it's all one big fight, if you ask me. You have to, you have to look at all these subjects together, and it's all the same people pretty much that are trying to take away these rights. And that's what we have to stop.
Yeah,
Mike, I like to joke that vaccines are the gateway drug to understanding the importance of freedom in general, right? And to educating yourself about your constitutional rights and your health freedoms and everything. The vaccine debate is a microcosm of the larger issue, which is that we are under attack by our governments, by the administrative state, by this unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy, and by special interests and very, very devious forces, evil forces, who want to literally sicken you so they can profit off of you and disempower you in the process. Because sick people are not strong people. Sick people cannot fight back. Sick people are not able to resist. I think that's what's really happening.
Absolutely. And it also seems to me like what we've witnessed has been an obedience test, just to see how many people will go along with pure insanity. And then that insanity extends into many other areas of, culture and biology and finance and what have you. But there are plenty of people who will not only go along with this obedience test, but they will then police others as well. Like they want to be the jailers to say, oh, you have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. You have to lock down. And,
we had so many people. We live in a small town, and the shaming, the attempt to make you a disgrace, a social pariah, was quite intense. Kendall actually acted as a plaintiff in one of our local lawsuits that we sued the city. And we lost, unfortunately, because the judge just didn't even look at the evidence that we had submitted. But the point is that we have lost so many friends. We have been harassed. We've been demonized. We have been I've been called an anti-Semite because we referenced the Nuremberg Code in that lawsuit.
Right.
I mean, it's outrageous, you know, and this is a thing. Like, people need to understand that you either stand with us and help us fight back, or we're all going down, right? We've also sued Disney and Nike because these big companies are trampling the rights of their employees, acting like they don't have any rights, like their rights are disposable, like they're just insignificant. And by holding these companies accountable, we aim to send a message to all of corporate America that they can't do this without having to pay for it. And so it's just critically important that all of your viewers, I know I'm probably preaching to the choir with the people who, you know, come to Brighteon, but it's so important that we all stand up and we draw our line in the sand and we don't move, because this is it, folks. This is really, truly it.
Well, I think the people are with you on that 100% at this point. I've never seen such strong statements of do not comply as what we're seeing now. When the signs of this COVID 2.0 rollout are happening, you know, Joe Biden authorizing billions of dollars for more vaccine manufacturing, another government handout to big pharma. Some of that money will go back to media to control media. I mean, it's all one giant racket, but also more talk of masking and some mandates being pushed. But people are saying, no, I'm not going to comply. In round one, there was caution, there was uncertainty. We didn't know then what we knew now. I can understand people, you know, just cautiously wearing a mask for a few months. And remember, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Like, if we all lock down for 2 weeks, we're going to solve this thing. Now, you know, five boosters later, it's, oh, there's another COVID. There's another variant. There's another round of booster shots. And, oh, don't worry about your friends who died after they took the shot, because dead people don't talk. And if they could, by the way, this debate would be over. If all the vaccine victims could speak, this would be done. But of course, dead people don't talk. However, those who comply are killing themselves off, which means that the remaining survivors of all of this tend to be people who do not comply by definition. Isn't that an interesting dynamic?
You want to take that, Kendall?
Yeah, Kendall, you any comments on that?
Kendall, do you want to say anything on that?
Oh, I just really, really hope that people don't comply. And, you know, I think fear is a real hindrance. And, you know, I don't blame people in the very beginning who were afraid, but I'm starting to get really frustrated with people who can't admit that they were wrong. And when they see their own husbands or wives or friends injured by the COVID shots, and there's still this incredible cognitive dissonance, it's just absolutely flabbergasting to me. And I just hope that people will get red-pilled and that they'll figure this out and that they won't tolerate it anymore, because we really can't afford another, set of mandates or lockdowns or masking, or it's going to ruin, it's going to ruin everybody's psyche. It's going to ruin the country. It's going to ruin the world if that happens. So I don't know. I just pray that everybody's going to lose the fear and stand up for what's right, and maybe be able to take a step back and say, gee, you know, it looks like people like Fauci, you know, weren't correct, you know. And I think more and more people are doing that, because when they came out in the beginning and they said, well, it's only 2 weeks, like you said, Mike, well, that 2 weeks turned into how long, you know, year,
Three
2 years,
years, right? Yeah.
So I think people are realizing that they were lied to. And, you know, first they started off with one mask, and then these people were wearing three masks.
You can never have enough masks.
Yeah, there's just got to be a point where the average person who's never thought about vaccines before is still going to understand that something is not right.
Now that the double masking, the triple masking, that was clearly just an IQ test put out there by the media. Like somebody told the media, like, let's see how stupid people are. And let's see if you can push triple masking and who's going to go along with that. And you literally saw people wearing three masks driving in their own car with no one else around.
Yeah.
And it's like, my God, you have failed the human IQ test.
Mm-hmm. I think that the people who are truly in power are, it's kind of like a game of cat and mouse. I think they toy with the public. I really do. And I think that they want to see, you know, how many are like, if it will be dancing dogs or whatever, right? How many people will go along with their stupid things? How many will stand 6 feet apart? How many will, you see these pictures of these people hugging their loved ones through plastic, right? Like through some Miss Queen. And you see, there is no doubt in my mind that these people, I mean, they flout their own rules. Look at Pelosi going and getting her hair cut and Feinstein walking through an airport unmasked. They're clearly not afraid. They're clearly not afraid. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
And they're mocking us. I think they're mocking the public. But I think that the public has woken up. And I think that the people in positions of power are actually afraid because they have lost control of the narrative. And, you know, I have a lot of suspicions about Elon Musk and what his true intentions are. But he has done some good things in opening up Twitter. I still know people who are banned, and that's bad, no doubt. I don't want to in any way give him a free slate, a clean slate. And I hear he's going to go to biometric verification this month, something like that. I mean, I think it's very, very dangerous. But I think that the fact that that happened suggests to me that there are so much pressure on the powers that be that they had to kind of let that happen in order to provide an illusion that there's something different going on, that there's an opportunity and that they don't have a stranglehold on everything. And I think that they are losing. I really, truly believe they're losing the narrative because when you have people who were true believers who took 2 and 3 and 4 doses and now are saying, I'm not taking this again. Yeah. I mean, no way. When only 17% of the people take the booster, you have lost.
Oh, yeah. You've lost. Despite all the billions of dollars in propaganda money that's been pushed out there by the CDC. So look, we need to wrap this up. The website, folks, where you can watch this is brightyou.com. Again, the film is called The Greater Good, and it's free to watch. It begins Saturday, September 16th, and it runs for 11 days. It just loops, so you can catch it any day. Just go there. Registration is free. You can also optionally purchase download of the film and all these bonus items that you can find out more about by registering there. That will help support both this platform and also the filmmakers as well. And they appreciate your support. You can also go to healthfreedomdefense.org and choose to make a donation to the Health Freedom Defense Fund if you want to support them directly, or you could do all of the above if you wish and support them in multiple ways. Well, Leslie and Kendall, I want to thank you both for your courage, your knowledge, just for joining me here today. It's been way too long. We got to get you on more frequently. And in fact, let's make a plan to do that, because I think your voice is really critical for our time, and we're facing COVID 2.0. So can you come back on pretty soon, do this again?
Absolutely.
100%.
All right. Let's do that. And thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much, Mike. Great to be with you.
Okay. You too. Again, wow, what an amazing couple of powerful human beings right there fighting for humanity's future. And they made an amazing film. You got to watch it if you haven't seen it yet. Again, it's called The Greater Good at brightyou.com. And as always, you can post this interview, feel free to do so, on other channels and platforms. I'm Mike Adams here, of course, of brightyon.com, but post this elsewhere and spread the word, tell everybody about it, share the video. I mean, you're saving lives when you do that. So thank you for watching today. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams here, brightyon.com. Take care. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. Wasn't that amazing? We're posting that as a standalone video file, by the way. Feel free to share that with anybody who you think might find value in that. I love these two women. They are just nailing it. I'd love to see the courage and the knowledge, you know, just the competency. How much they have studied and learned and applied their knowledge in a way that supports the sustainability of humanity. It's just extraordinary. It's exciting, actually, you know, to see human beings that are fulfilling their potential. You know, we live in a world of such pathetic, I don't know, losers and obedience clients. It's that, you know, I'm just sick of that. I'd love to see people who are standing in their power and asserting it and helping humanity. And that's what these two women are doing in spades. So share that interview everywhere you can. All right. And then finally, I thought I was going to put maybe another interview here, but it's too much for one day. So tomorrow I'm going to feature the interview with Jim Shepherd, the founder of the Berkey Water Filter Company. That's actually coming tomorrow, not today. And we're done for today's broadcast. So thank you for your interest. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your support. I hope you found a lot of value and insight in today's broadcast. And I'm telling you, you're going to learn something every single day that you tune in to Brighteon Broadcast News. And it's also, you know, some of it's entertainment, right? You know, I do the voices and I do the mockery and the song and dance sometimes. I can't help it. I have to laugh at the insanity of the world. I hope you're laughing with me, sometimes perhaps at me. That's okay too. Like my failed Michael Jackson impression. I get it. Okay. So it's a combination, a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of knowledge, quite a few warnings, but practical hands-on information as well. I hope you find value in it, and I thank you for your support. I'll be with you tomorrow with another Brighteon Broadcast News update and the interview with Berkey Water. Talk to you then. Take care.